Good evening and welcome to Slam Gallagher Podcast, a show that tells all regarding family court, other court issues, as well as CPS. I am your host, Marianne Petrie. This episode of Slam the Gavel is sponsored by CPS Protect Consulting Services. Child Protective Services cases are among the most frightening experiences any parent can endure. Don't face them alone. With urgent assist by CPS Protect, you get the peace of mind to raise your children as you see fit, and the personalized assistance of their team of expert child welfare consultants, former CPS investigators themselves, right when you need it. Get started absolutely free at cpsprotect.com/register. I have another announcement. Go to the site, pleasedoyourjob.com. We need 2,000 more signatures to get a case reopened, a very, very important case. Pleasedoyourjob.com. I have a return guest on. I have Danielle Sather-Miller back on. She was last on season 5, episode 69. She and I had met on TikTok, and we had talked about how parental alienation ruins people's lives, which, you know, it does. And we're going to talk about all sorts of things on this podcast. And I totally welcome you back, Danielle.
Thank you.
I'm, you know, so glad everything is seems to be going okay with you. Did you get any hear back from the last podcast we did?
Yes, I did. My kids' father and the stepmother got really mad that I was putting my story out there, and really mad about the information that I found out about them. And my son, my middle child, he messaged me and asked me to not contact them anymore and to just give up. They hate me. If they wanted to talk to me, that they would have by now. He was telling me I was an embarrassment, and said that he don't want his friends knowing that I'm his mom. That was pretty hard.
I kind of heard the same things out of one of mine, but he came around, and I know they're living with people that are doing this. They're teaching them to hate you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's been 9 years of it, going on 9 years.
That's sad. We were talking earlier before you popped on the podcast that Frederick Douglass made the statement, it's easier to build strong children than repair broken men. And yes, when kids are being put in this situation of being taught to hate and fear their parent, this is what we're going to have to do, is repair broken men and women.
Yeah. A lot of damage to be undone. A lot.
Right.
And I don't think I know the half of it. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so unfair. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but, you know, we talked earlier too that there's a lot of there's a lot of coercive control with this parental alienation. So you don't know if the 15-year-old really said that to you. I mean, I always wondered about text messages coming to me, because they sounded too, what was the word? I don't want to say intelligent, because I knew my ex was texting them.
Yes.
They sounded too derogatory.
Him. Yeah. Sounded a lot like the ex.
Right. So he probably took his cell phone. I bet those kids really do want to see you, but they cannot admit that to the father and the stepmother. And
it enrages them.
Yes.
Anything about me enrages them.
And it also builds fear into them as well.
Yes, it does.
And that's not fair to do, because they're going to be so confused.
Mm-hmm. They already are. Mm-hmm. They already are. They have so much hate in them. The messages he was writing me, that's hate. And I didn't read that into them.
They have to be taught that.
Yes.
So after you got those messages, what did you do? Did you just, continued on with your day, or?
I packed my bags and I went to South Carolina and went to see my lawyer, Barbara Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
She expressed some concerns to me, which I was glad she did, and I had some hard truths I had to face with the whole situation, and I'm glad she didn't take my money because most
Yeah, no,
lawyers
that's a
don't care,
good
they'll take
look.
the money.
It, right. She was doing right by you.
Yes, and I don't want to make the situation worse for me or worse for my kids. You know, I just got to wait for them to come to me, and that was some hard truths to face. It was really hard. But now trying to get past that and be happy, it's kind of hard, but I'm trying.
Well, you're staying real busy. That's what I do. I stay busy. I do my artwork. I try to practice my ukulele.
Oh.
But you're canning. I saw on TikTok everything you're canning. Wow.
I'm doing a lot.
Now, you also showed
Oh.
that. Was that? I also saw like a pressure pot you showed.
Yeah, my pressure canner.
Wow, see, that always scared me when I was a kid. My grandmother had one because she had, and I thought, what if it blows up? I'm so scared of this thing.
After the first time I used it, I felt like a pro, and I haven't stopped since.
Oh, see, I wish we lived closer so you could teach me how to can.
I'd
I'm
be
just,
happy to teach you.
yeah.
And I'm getting to dehydrating as well. I'm real big into that now. My mom bought me a really nice dehydrator, and
Oh
it's been
yeah.
going since I've been back from South Carolina, and that's been like a month. I've gave it like a 2 day break.
Oh wow. Well, like mangoes, have you dehydrated those?
Everything. I've been doing eggs, I've been doing fruit leathers, I've been doing cranberry sauce, fruit leathers,
Ooh.
pineapples, bananas, anything. Mushrooms, onions, a
Wow. No,
lot of
that's
stuff.
awesome.
Yeah,
Yeah, I wish I could do that. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how to do it and what goes
you
into
can.
canning. Ah.
I didn't think I could.
But when I saw that pressure pot, it's like, that's the same one my grandmother had.
Yeah, it's an old one. It's
Yeah.
an old one. It's a good one, too.
Right. No, I mean, you need to stay busy. Now you have a lot of food in case something bad happens.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I hear about things that may happen and I just
Getting kind
play
of crazy
along.
out there.
Right. You know, and your husband's also a youth pastor at your church too, and
Yes,
he's
ma'am.
keeping busy too.
Yes, ma'am.
How long has he been doing that?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, it's good to stay busy. And then what do you do when you're not? And then you have these thoughts about your kids. Do you start another project?
Well, I'm involved with my grandkids as well.
Mm-hmm.
My bonus kids, they have kids, and my ex-boyfriend's kids, I'm still very involved with them, and they have babies I'm involved with, and
That's
I'm a
good.
grandma now.
Oh, well, congratulations on
Thank
that.
you.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot going, even though you don't get to see your kids. It's just so.
I wish that they were involved in everything that I have going. I do, and I pray that someday they do come. I do. But I can't let it drag me down and depress me to the point to where I'm taking for granted the stuff that I do have. I love my husband. He's a great husband. He really is a great husband. And I don't ever want him to feel that I'm not happy.
Well, I'm glad, it's so hard to find a second spouse. People are telling me this, I'm lucky too that, I was determined to find a good spouse after the last one. I don't know. Because as I was going through my divorce and I had told my mother, she said, no one's going to want you and your three kids. And I went to work and we were kind of short and low on patience. So I went into an empty room and I went and I found a Bible, in the hospital. And I
Oh,
went through
bless your
Mark.
heart.
But I pulled up Mark. Is it? I know I'm going to have it backwards. Is it chapter 11, verse 22, where it said, if you have the faith that God can move a mountain, he will do it.
And he will.
And so I ripped that out. I'm not kidding you. And I had a binder, you know, because you have all your stuff in a binder. And so I put it in there and I just looked at that every day. But and
Oh.
it took what, 5 years, seven, no, actually 7 years later, I met him.
No.
So there's hope. Yeah, because yeah, we got divorced in the end of 05 and I remarried in November of 2011. So you know, but I met him. I met my current husband in 2010. But yeah,
Yeah.
it's so hard to be patient.
Yeah.
But he was worth
Yeah.
waiting for, let me tell you. It's just so hard to find, you know, a good man. And I know there's guys looking for a good woman. It's the same for them. They're having a hard
Yeah.
time too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
And
grateful.
yes, oh, I am too. I am too.
Very grateful.
And you know, we just have to encourage parents that when we're going through this, you know, this torturous indoctrination of our children into a cult of
Yeah.
coercive control and child psychological abuse being done to
Yeah.
our children by these perpetrators, that we just have to sit back and give God the reins.
Yeah. And it's hard to do that. It is so hard to do that. Oh my goodness, I've done so much stuff in the flesh that I should have just handed over to God. Like when I was replying back to my son's messages, he was telling me to unfollow his friends, and I should have just unfollowed him right then and there. But I'm like, no, I want the whole world to know our story. You know, I'm not unfollowing anybody. And I feel regret from that right now. I do. I kind of do. But at the same time, not really, because I was getting my story out.
Well, I also think people should hear the other side of the coin because I'm sure this has happened to you where these child psychological abusers are running around telling everybody how horrible and crazy you are. Right.
Yes.
And they're destroying your reputation, but it's okay for them to do that. So why isn't it okay for me to write a book and give my side of the story? And have other parents come on and show
Right.
me evidence, and you get your say as well.
Yep.
Because what we're dealing with, and a lot of people don't know unless it happens to them.
Oh, yeah.
Do people, you know, because you're in a group, you're in a group,
Yes.
it's called South Carolina Injustice.
Yes, court corruption. And there's 8 women in this group. We all talk to each other. We update each other two to three times a week on what's going on with each other. We share other like when a judge gets in trouble, one of them will share it and be like, "Hey, did you ever have them for a judge?" And I actually had one of them that was
Oh,
corrupt. Yes. Judge Holmes.
how do you spell that?
Holmes.
I thought so. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
See, I always tell parents to report these judges. You could be, I mean, I even did it in the middle of a case because this guy would not recuse himself and I didn't know what drugs he was on. You know, running it like a three-ring circus. It was really egregious. But you have to report their behaviors. You can't say, well,
Yeah.
he rolled crappy. Okay, we all know he rolled crappy, but you know, did he say something like shut up and go stare at the corner? You know what I mean? Some of these judges are out of control. And
Yeah.
like I went to look at my lawyer and the judge yelled, "Don't you look at your lawyer." It's like it's a free country. I can look at mine. I don't care.
That's why he's your lawyer.
Yeah, it's like
Oh my
so
goodness.
right. So I always tell parents, always report, you know, anything by your attorney if you feel they did something unethical, and
Yeah.
you may get the letter back that says it's not unethical enough, right? We all get that letter back. But I got one of those letters during my federal court case, and it was bothering me. And I called the place, which is Supreme Court Disciplinary Board here in Pennsylvania, and I talked to a real nice lawyer guy, and he said, "Tell you what, resend it, but be more detailed." And so I said, "Okay," and I sent an affidavit with it, copy, and I explained more what happened. And then they dealt with him. So persistence also is very helpful. So when, like in your group, do you court watch?
What's that?
Like, okay, so I get notifications to go on Zooms and watch family court or whatever the case is on Zoom, and you will just be clocked in as a court watcher.
I honestly did not know you could do that.
Hey, I'll get you in touch if that's something you want to do. But I've court watched down there in Florida. I've court watched in Kentucky, where I have also complained on judges in both Florida and Kentucky.
Family court watch for family court? Oh, wow. I did not know that.
Because some parents will put out, "Hey, I need court watchers." And then you can message them and say, "Okay, where is it, a Zoom? What's the link?" Or it's a phone call, or it's a phone thing. I don't know. It depends on how the court does it in that state.
Send me that information to get that going.
Yes, definitely. I can definitely do that because I try to attend as many as I can, because in Florida, I reported the judge twice for his crappy behavior. Like, the pro se was talking and he just turned off her mic.
Oh
So,
my.
yeah, behaviors like that, because they are making up the law as they go along. And that was unconstitutional for him to do that. Then in Kentucky, another judge, he just wouldn't
They
listen.
don't care.
They don't care. No. In fact, I even jumped on court watching early, which I guess it was a good idea that I did. Because you don't know how long someone's case is going to last and they move on to the next one. But I was listening to this female attorney argue a motion just for the mother to have more time. Like, this is not anything major. The judge couldn't make a decision on that. He couldn't decide on that motion. Just can't make a decision. What do you do there? Then when the person I was court watching for got on and let it rip, I'm not going to rule on that motion. So that was two
Why
complaints.
was he there? Why
Yeah, why,
was he
right?
there if he wasn't going to do his job?
At taxpayers' expense, okay? We are funding these people at taxpayer expense to torture not only us, but our kids.
And to keep it dragging on and dragging on and
And these judges that think they're God and won't recuse themselves, like, I've done a podcast with Kathy Wittrell, and she finally got her judge disqualified. And it was the one where we were having drinks on the Zoom. But yeah, I mean, we have our celebrations on here too.
I
But
think it's awesome. I see a lot of your podcasts and I feel you're helping a lot of people. I really do.
well, we have to
I
help
really
each.
do.
Thank you. We have to, help each other,
Yeah, be
because
for each other.
we have to comfort each other. And
Who else is going to?
no, I, you
No
know,
anyone
really,
actually understands what we are really going through to
no.
actually get advice for it and
Like, I have relatives down south, and they were concerned about it. But it's not like you can pick up the phone and call them all the time. They worked full time at that time. Now they're retired. But anyway, other relatives that were in town didn't bother you or me, And I think I asked why. And it was, the answer you get is, "Well, we thought you needed your privacy." It's like, no, I actually needed you in court to watch this crazy stuff.
Yeah. Now, my family's pretty devastated over the whole situation. They're being kept from them as well, my
Right.
whole entire side of the family.
And that's also so wrong. They should know their cousins and their aunts and
Yeah.
uncles. And they're missing out on
They
so many.
knew them when they were with me. They
You're
knew
right.
them when they were with me.
And they're missing out on so much fun and goodness and birthday parties,
Yeah.
and it really.
Church. I don't think they're going to church where they're at.
Yeah, see, that was a thing that played really big because I always took them to like Sunday school and church, or we called it catechism anyway. But his wife that he married, who works and enjoys her job in the courthouse, I thought maybe she could be someone who could help me and get them to church.
Yeah.
She was a distant friend. She wasn't like a friend, but a distant friend. And that's why I set them up on a date because I thought, well, hey, maybe she can, I know, right? Right. And so I thought, she can help me with this. It could be a very positive thing. She didn't have kids of her own. So I thought, that's less kids for my to fight, over things.
Yeah.
And oh no, apparently she's not a churchgoer and really did a lot of damage that did not ha have to happen had I not. You know what? No good deed goes unpunished. Do not set your ex up on any dates, people. You can't make it up. I mean, that's why I wrote that book.
Oh
When
man, I'm stuck on this. Make it make sense to me. Make it all just make sense to me.
the reason how I look at it is it will make sense when you share your story
Yes.
and you show other parents, this is what happened to me in family court. This is how I was treated. And you teach them, report on that attorney, report, and in fact, when I was on the witness stand, the opposing attorney, he was so like, I'm sorry, but he was stupid. Okay. He said to me, are you going to report? He started off saying, you reported the CPS caseworker. And I said, yeah. And he said, you reported my wife. I said, twice, I said to him. And then he said, are you going to report me? I said, well, let's see how you do today.
Yeah.
And he said, but you reported the CPS caseworker too. And he like paused, like he was looking through paperwork. I said, the Honorable Thomas Wolfe. And he's so stupid, right? That was our newly elected governor. So
Oh,
he
my.
was so dramatic. He always used arm gestures, so he looks up at the ceiling. He goes, who is this Tom Wolfe? And so what happened was the whole courtroom broke into laughter and he realized what had, ha had happened. He went and sat down like a fourth grader and just sat in his chair like that. And see, this is where our victories are. And we have to tell parents, yeah, we can have some small victories. We might not win the war, but
Right.
we can have small victories.
Yeah, and each small victory counts. It really does.
Right. And I won't keep you too much longer, but
It's okay.
what other advice can you offer, your group or other parents listening that are being told not to have any contact? I know some of them are with judge's orders and whatever.
I just keep trying. I've been told not to contact anymore, and I'm not listening. I'm gonna forever keep trying. I want my kids to know I tried and I tried.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stop no matter how much they ask me, no matter how mean they are to me. And I still send them messages. I love you,
Right.
I love you so much. When you want the truth, I'm here and I'm going to keep everything I have until y'all do come back to me.
No, that's good because that's how I was. Even if I got a nasty text, I answered with, "Hey, the dog's doing great. Do you want to see a picture of the dog?" And then I'd send him a picture of the dog just to divert, you know? But I'm glad you came. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, nothing. I was just saying, yep.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad you came back on and we could talk about canning and positive things. So, don't jump off because I'd like to have you back on again. Okay. Slam the Gavels, the podcast, help the public understand what really goes on in the family courtrooms. I'm your host, Marianne Petry, author of Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough, and Cry Out for Justice, Poems of Truth, and Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple iTunes, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, other platforms I don't know about. And please feel free to buy me a coffee, and you can find that in the podcast notes. And I totally thank you, Danielle Sather Miller.
Thank you.
I'll see you on TikTok soon, probably.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.